Yeshua, I thank you for this opportunity, Lord. I was asked to speak, and I feel very honored. And Lord, one thing that I request, let your words be heard. Let you come through and be seen, and not me in this flesh. For this flesh is weak, but in spirit and in truth, Lord, you are made strong. If anything that's coming out of mouth is not of you, Lord, let it fall on deaf ears. But again, if it's your word, Lord, and it's truth, for your word is truth, let that be heard in Yeshua's name. All right. Some of you are probably looking at the board and going, good Lord, Sean, that is a lot of scripture to be going through. I'm a big believer that letting the word speak for itself, because I can add commentary, I can add this and that, but that was just from me. One of the things in prophecy that I love, and as you're seeing it there in Isaiah 42, 21, the Lord is well pleased for his righteousness' sake. He will exalt the Torah and make it honorable. This is kind of the topic that I wanted to talk about today. What does it look like? If we're supposed to be the light, we're supposed to be salt, we're supposed to be imitators of Mashiach, and it's written about him that he's going to make the Torah honorable. Well, wait a minute, for the last almost 3 years, not quite, but I've been seeking Torah. I've been seeking to live out his word from Genesis through Revelation. It's not just the New Testament anymore. There's something here. There's some nuggets and some gold. And how do I, through Messiah, make it honorable? Michelle, would you read Deuteronomy 4, 5 through 8, please? Oh, I'm sorry, we got the mic.
All right, but but you who held fast to the Lord, your God, are alive today, every one of you.
Oh, I'm sorry, is that chapter 4?
Yeah.
5 through 8? Oh, I'm sorry, I was started back in verse 1. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Let me continue?
Yes.
Where I'm at? Okay, so I'm on verse 5 now. Surely I have taught you statutes and judgments, just as the Lord my God commanded me, that you should act according to them in the land which you go to possess. Therefore, be careful to observe them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the people who will hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people.
Yes.
For what great nation is there that has God so near to it as the Lord our God is to us, for whatever reason we may call upon him? And what great nation is there that has such statutes and righteous judgments as are in all this law which I set before you this day?
Thank you. I look at these verses here, and I'm looking like, wow, this is a mirror and an image of what Messiah says this quote-unquote nation should look like when other people look upon me. And by the way, in this lesson that I'm talking about, this is really for me. And if you glean something off of it in Baruch Hashem, I really hope that you do. But that old saying, when you got a finger pointing at someone, you got three other pointing back at you, right? So when seeing the scriptures here, I don't know if you people are got your Bibles open and looking at it, but it talks about this being your wisdom, being understanding. This being your understanding, and surely that we're looked upon as a great nation. I think it says that, what, 3 times there? And having righteous judgments. When I look back at Isaiah 42, he's going to make it honorable. How? Well, let's look at some passages in the Brit Hadashah in the New Testament. And we're just going to let the word speak for itself in all the ones up to Romans. These are all parallel passages in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. So, and as we read Matthew 19, 16 through 26, this is what I'd like us to start doing. Let's put the focus on the word. Let's not our minds far too right or run too far left, but let's see what it's saying where it's honorable, where it's being exalted, the Torah, and how as us, as part of this great nation, when someone else looks upon us, what are the attributes to be seen? Because some people that I've heard, you know, we'll pronounce the name, you know, Yehovah or Yahweh or Yahuwah. Some people even say Jesus. Some people say Yeshua. What's in a name? We've heard that before. Is it how you pronounce the name, or is there something else deeper than that? Anyone? Say that again. Reputation of the name. That's what's important. Yes, go ahead.
But isn't it important to not call him the wrong name?
I'm not going to agree or disagree with that. I think it's up to the individual person to seek out their own salvation with fear and trembling. For me, when I'm looking at, well, I'm supposed to be a great nation, I'm supposed to be holding up Torah and being honorable, I'm supposed to be a light, I got to be careful and be wise and think, you know, what are they going to see when I speak? Because every time God spoke, he created something, and of course, then we see. So what are they going to see in me when I speak? Are they going to see this carnality flesh that's going to pass one day, or are they going to see him? And I'm going to fail. We all fall short to the glory of God. But it reminds me of a passage in the Brit Odeshaw where, and a lot of us are probably familiar with this, you hear that Christ is the end of the law. That word end is telos, and it's the root of it is the goal. Christ is the goal of the law, so or the Torah. So I'm also, if I'm to be Christ-like, trying to reach the goal. Am I going to make it? Am I going to miss the mark? Of course. Thank you for the blood. That's all I got to continually say. Thank you for the blood. All right, I don't want to go too far on a rabbit trail here, though. But so as we start reading through the parallel passages in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, Maddie's going to help us out and start seeing what are some of these attributes. What? Someone raise their hand. Or are you just like running at me? Anyway. Okay. Jared, you're going to go ahead and read for me, Brother Matthew.
Just then a man came up to Yeshua and asked, "Teacher, what good thing must I do to get eternal life?" "Why do you ask me about what is good?" Yeshua replied. "There is only one who is good. If you want to enter life, keep my commandments." "Which ones?" he inquired. Yeshua replied, "You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not give false testimony, your honor your father and your mother, and love your neighbor as yourself." All these I have kept," the young man said. "What do I still lack?" Yeshua answered. If you want to be perfect, go sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." When the young man heard this, he went away sad because he had great wealth. Then Yeshua said to his disciples, "Truly I tell you, it is hard for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of heaven. Again I tell you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." When the disciples heard this, they were greatly astonished and asked, "Who then can be saved?" Yeshua looked at them and said, With man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible."
Okay, so let's do a little checklist here. What are we seeing? What are some of the attributes? What's honorable that Yeshua is talking about here? And Maddie, go ahead and get ready to write them up on the board, okay? Yeah, on the board. Okay, there's one, keeping the commandments. What else are we seeing here? If you need to look back in the scripture there that we just read, go ahead. Take a second. We want to glean as much as we can from this. There's a lot of nuggets here. Giving. Okay, good. Giving. Follow him. All right, what does that look like to you? All right, being imitators of Messiah. Is that about right? Being imitators of Messiah, okay. Well, that would be involved in keeping the commandments, right? As you mentioned there a minute ago. Okay, and you're seeing that here in this passages?
Because he said, "Go sell all that you have and follow me."
Okay.
And the young man wasn't willing to do that, so I look at the opposite side, and it would be willing to live in poverty to help others. Willing to let go of the stuff that you want and be able to give to others.
So you mean to like deny yourself and follow me?
Yeah. Right,
so being a servant. Okay, good. You got it. Anything else that we're seeing? Show.
Love.
Mm. Wow. Wow, that's right there, huh? Love your neighbor as yourself. Okay. Anything else there? Not to have other Elohims. There you go, right? Anything else that we're seeing? Right. Right. That's absolutely right. That's very good. Okay, so then let's go ahead and look at a parallel passage in Mark 10, 18 through 21. Alma, you're going to actually take chapter 10 and 12. So let's break down chapter 10, and then we'll go to 12.
Yeshua said to him, "Why are you calling me good? No one is good except God. You will know, you know the mitzvot. Don't murder, don't commit adultery, don't steal, don't give false testimony, don't defraud. Honor your father and mother." "Rabbi," he said, "I have kept all these since I was a boy." Yeshua, looking at him, fell to love for him and said to him, "You are missing one thing. Go, sell whatever you own, give it to the poor, and you will have riches in heaven. Then come, follow me." Shocked by his word, he went away sad because he was a wealthy man.
In verse 21, I don't know if anyone else has the same the New King James is what I'm reading out of. When he tells them to go away and sell whatever you have and give to the poor, for you will have treasures in heaven, and come, take up your cross and follow me. What translation do you have?
The Jewish.
Jewish, okay. All right, so we have different language going on here as well, so... All right, what are we seeing here? And if there's anything similar to this that you're seeing, Maddie, how about we put like a star? And if it builds up on it, then make room. If you sing something similar, go ahead and say it. What are we seeing here? Same.
All of the above.
All of the above. So how about this? Let's write first witness. Just one. And then here too. So this would be second witness here that we're just seeing in this parallel passage. There's nothing new that we're seeing here?
I think there's one thing that stands out to me is that all of these passages, Christ is saying, there's only one good. That being God.
So only one God, only one that's good? Okay, good.
I just learned this from reading the scriptures. I was in Matthew like you, but you know when Yeshua was talking in Matthew 5 and he's talking about if our eye be full of light?
Mm-hmm.
Well, according to, that means being generous and giving. But when your eye is dark, it's being selfish and keeping everything to yourself. And this here says, Yeshua said, one matter you lack, go sell all you possess and give to the poor, and you shall have treasure in heaven. So his eyes were dark because he couldn't get past that of being selfish and hoarding to sharing with others.
Okay.
That's real important, I think, because I've been learning that.
I agree. So there's another star there. It's talking twice there. Yes, Louise.
Well, I don't know how to put this in, but yesterday I heard on the radio that he was talking about the disciples. He was talking about all the people that were following him, and that many, many, many of them could not continue because he was so, his way was very definite, and he would speak to people, you know, with what was going on with them. And then the other part of that was that, which really made me realize that this is such a very, very intense thing that we are entering into following him, that it is even daily as we are going, we have our agenda, we go into our day, we have our agenda. What if something comes up that's inconvenient, but is something that is required of us to help somebody, to put aside our desire and do something for whoever's in need? And I mean, my feeling is that in a way, if we enter into every day, we should enter into it as, well, God willing, and what does God have for me today? What are the things that are going to come in front of me that are going to need me to do all these things? Mm. So rather than us just put these things in our head, I feel it's really important for us to begin to take it into our everyday, hour by hour life.
That's good. All right, let's continue on. Oh, I'm sorry. Yes.
I was flicking back and forth between Matthew and Mark, and this stood out for me. Is in the scripture, and interestingly enough, it's verse 21 in both. If you want to be perfect, go sell what you have, give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. That's Matthew. In Mark 10:21, one thing you lack, go your way, sell whatever you have, and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come, adds in, take up your cross, and then finishes with follow me. It's different. And so I'm sitting here with my little phone here and my accordions. And it's interesting, because I looked it up, and I just wanted to see, and it says, severe affliction or trial. Like, this is going to be hard. He's going, this is going to be hard. You know, but that's the big difference I noticed, was that that stood out, but that the reward that followed, the very next thing, is what follows after that, and it's not here.
So, it's was something you say you're seeing different or add to this, is that this is going to be hard, or there's going to be affliction and trial? There's something different we hadn't seen yet.
Yeah, I'm not really sure where the King James gets that, because I had the original Greek here for Mark. And there is no reference to the cross in Mark. The way Mark reads is almost identical to Matthew, where it says, one thing you lack, go and sell all you possess, give to the poor, then you'll have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. There's no reference to the cross. So okay. I don't know if that's some kind of interjection that the King James put in there. A harmonization of the gospel.
Sometimes the King James has a harmonization between the versions where a scribe has added the same passage that's in one into another one. And that's where you'll sometimes see a margin note saying it's been added in one version that's not in another.
Okay. All right.
I have the One New Man version, and it says, then come, you must continually follow me. It's not a part-time job.
Okay. So a continual. Continual following, daily following. Okay.
The first one, he always talks about, he says, what do I need to do to obtain eternal life? And he says, the mitzvot. He repeats it again. So I'm just
talking. Okay. There's... Did you put keeping the commandments on there? Yeah, right here. Keep the commandments. Okay. Okay, good. All right, let's continue our research here. Let's go ahead and go to Mark 12, 18 through 34. Do you mind? She wants to. Yeah, I apologize. I did, but it's fine. She says, go ahead. Go ahead.
Sorry.
No, it's okay. Yeah, 18 through 34. Usually beforehand,
okay?
They could go a little bit faster with a lot of scriptures.
And Sadducees who say there is no resurrection came to him, and they asked him, saying, Teacher Moshe wrote to us that if a brother of anyone dies and leaves his wife behind and leaves no children, his brother should take his wife and raise up offspring for her brother. There were seven brothers, and the first took a wife and died, leaving no offspring. And the second took her, and he died, leaving behind no offspring. And the third likewise. And the seven left no offspring. Last of all, the woman died too. Excuse me. In the resurrection then, when they rise, whose wife shall she be? For seven had her as wife. And Yeshua answering said to them, is this not why you go astray, because you do not know the scriptures, nor the power of Elohim? For when they say, rise from the dead, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the messengers in the heavens. And concerning the dead, that they rise, have you not read in the book of Moshe at the bush how Elohim spoke to him, saying, I am the Elohim of Abraham, and the Elohim of Yitzhak, and Elohim of Jacob. He is not the Elohim of the dead, but Elohim of the living. You then do greatly astray. And one of the scribes coming near, hearing him reasoning together, knowing that he had answered him well, asked him, which is the first command of all? And Yeshua answered him, the first of all the commands is, hear, O Israel, Yahweh our Elohim is one. And you shall love Yahweh your Elohim with all your heart, with all your being, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first command. And the second like it is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other command greater than these. And the scribe said to him, well said, teacher, you have spoken the truth, for there is one Elohim, and there is no other besides him. And to love him with all the heart, and with all the understanding, and with all the being, and with all the strength, and to love one's neighbor as oneself, is more than all the ascending offerings and offerings. And when Yeshua saw that he answered wisely, he said to him, you are not far from the reign of Elohim. And after that, no one was bold enough to question him.
All right, some new stuff there, but some similarities. What are we seeing?
The most important thing is simple. If you think of it, how do you love? So, to love your neighbor, so love him.
Okay.
It's like such a core.
All right. Perfect core. Good, good. What else? Anything else? Anything the same?
Well, I noticed that Yeshua doesn't say, well, accept me as your heart, and your heart is your Lord and Savior, and then you will be saved. He didn't say that. He said he took them to the mitzvot.
Right.
So I thought that was interesting.
Okay. Dinner time. No, not yet. All right. And that's... And notice as we go through here, the different perspectives of what people are seeing or maybe not seeing, what maybe I'm seeing or not seeing. But let's continue on. Let's see what else we come up here with. All right, let's go to Luke 6. Sharon, you're going to take both chapter 6 and 10 for me. I just need a new mic. Cheryl, I'm sorry.
Looking at his disciples, blessed are you. Are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who hunger now, for you will be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, when they exclude you, and insult you and reject your name as evil because of the Son of God. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, because great is your reward in heaven, for that is how their ancestors treated the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have already received your comfort. Woe to you who are well fed now, for you will go hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when everyone speaks well of you, for that is how their ancestors treated the false prophets. But to you who are listening, I say, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you. If someone slaps you on one cheek, turn to them the other also. If someone takes your coat, do not withhold your shirt from them. Give to everyone who asks you, and if everyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners, expecting to be repaid in full. But love your enemies, do good to them, and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, because he is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. Be merciful just as your Father is merciful. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. He also told them this parable. Can the blind lead the blind? Will they not both fall into a pit? The student is not above the teacher, but everyone who is fully trained will be like their teacher. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, Brother, let me take this speck out of your eye, when you yourself fail to see the plank in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck out of your brother's eye. No good tree bears bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. Each tree is recognized by its own fruit. People do not pick figs from thorn bushes or grapes from briars. A good man brings down good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do as I say? As for everyone who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice, I will show you what they are like. They are like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid the foundation of rock. Then a flood came, the torrent struck in that house, but could not shake it because it was well built. But the one who hears my words and does not put them into practice is like the man built a house on the ground without a foundation. The moment the torrent struck the house, it collapsed and its destruction was complete.
So there's a lot there. What are we seeing now? How is he making honorable here? The Torah, how is he making it honorable here? What are we seeing? Okay.
She'd say, pick the weeds in your own backyard before you start picking someone else's.
Mm.
So you better be checking your own self out to see where you can change and grow, as opposed to trying to pick out your neighbor's faults or pick their weeds.
Right.
Whatever analogy you choose there. It said, bless them, change me. And I use that in my own daily life. If someone has offended me or has said something that I don't agree with, I say, bless them, Lord, and change me. I want my heart to be right and pure because I want to go home. It might be selfish on my part, but I want to follow the golden rule, what he said here, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. So if I want an act of kindness or whatever it is I think that I want, then I better be doing that out there first, and taking care of my brother first.
What else? Who else is there?
I just went through a phase where I was renting a garden bed from a different church, and the lady was very cruel to me and said and did insulting me, humiliating me, but I had to shut my mouth and not say anything. And that was really hard because I just want to say, hey, you don't have any business treating me that way. And she would give me jobs that I'm physically incapable of doing. And then she would say, well, get your kids to come in and work in here. And so I just would skirt around it, avoid her. And I finally got out of that garden. And she gave me 1 hour to get, I about hurt myself too. It took me 3 days of resting to recuperate. She locked me out of the garden. I paid for it. And I just, this reminds me of the Holy Spirit kept saying, don't say anything. And I'm like, okay. So he just like, don't say anything. And then, so I'm like, well, she blah, blah, blah. And, but this is reminding me, she was so horrible to me. And I lost a lot of food because she wouldn't let me finish. I only had an hour, and I only got my plants out. And then a lot of food was left behind. So, but it goes to Noah. So that's a food program. But this reminds me that no matter how hard and horrible people can be, if you just have to shut up. I know for me, I have to shut up and not say anything.
Sometimes that's the best way to love our neighbor. Things unspoken. Anything else in this?
This is more like a question. Because the Torah says, you keep my laws and I'm going to take care of your enemies. And 5 of you will pursue 100 and you will kill your enemies. You will put them by the sword, you slay, you will kill them. And then here we come here to this passage and he says, love your neighbor. So what it's going on. The Torah says you will kill them. And then here it says.
Jeff?
Personal versus corporate. Deuteronomy is talking about corporate Israel, and Yeshua is talking about people, individuals. So that's the big difference. That's one of the problems that people have tried to apply what you see there in the Gospels to countries, and it doesn't work. Because countries, and, you know, Paul talks about that in Romans and mentions, you know, chapter 13. Like, hey, you know, the authorities don't wield the sword for no reason. God gave them the authority with the sword to keep law and order. So they have to do that. But people know vengeance is mine,
right,
says the Lord. So that's the big difference. Yeshua is talking to individuals. You know, the Torah is talking to Israel as a whole.
And there's only ifs and but contentions, too, and conditions, if you follow and do. And so those are the two differences. And I definitely think that when Yeshua is showing up here to make this honorable, yeah, it's got to start with the heart, you personally, individually. So, anything else?
Corporal, you mean like the country? So the whole nation of the United States or the whole, okay. And when here in the, what we just read, so this is talking about brothers, your community, your fellow neighbor, that's what he's talking about. So when they persecute you, they're not your enemies, they're not... Well, if, for example, if some other country comes and they want to take my head off because I'm following the Torah, and the word, you know, the Torah says I can defend me, should I put my other cheek or?
Well, the first one is to get out. Okay, it's kind of like the example of, you know, when Yeshua was talking about in Matthew 24. When you see the city surrounded around, get out. You know, the people who stayed, it didn't go well. So, best part is to get out.
Jeff?
If you die as a martyr for your faith, that's the best way to die. It's the best way to die. You're going to die anyway. Not that you would invite that, but everything he says in this scripture, what he says it right here, you know, when we're persecuted, it's a blessing.
I know, how do we learn this? And this leads into something I was going to say, and that is, we can't learn this overnight. And I don't want to break the news, but in my life, the only thing that's helped me is suffering. The only thing that has helped me in any way to understand what this is about is suffering, losing everything, you know? And this is a teaching of humility when you realize you have nothing, that you are nothing. What do I know? Every day, what do I know? Really? You think you know something? Really? And Yeshua says, if you think you know, you don't know. So we have to totally rest on Him. 100%. And even every day say to ourselves, I don't know anything, God. It's you got to show me.
That's why He says, bless those who hunger and thirst after righteousness.
Yeah.
Along with what you're saying along that line, we are to become totally dependent on Him. Totally. And everything, it doesn't make a difference what it is. And sometimes you have to lose everything you think you've got a handle on it, or you're using this to help you. But it's not you. It's about Him and what He's going to do for you. Whether it's finances, a place to live, clothing, food, whatever. He can provide it. Sometimes you have to get to the point where there you have absolutely nothing, and He shows you how He will provide for you.
Right. That's good. Jeff?
We have some horse pasture that we rent out, and we had a tenant who had some horses, and something happened. I can't even remember what it was. A gate was left open or something. I don't know. But she was having a cow, and she was like, rawr, 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 and swearing, and so I went out there, and all I could do is kind of smile and go up to her and give her a hug. She was having a bad day, and she was taking out on my husband, and I could just tell that she was kind of out of character and something was bothering her. So it's like loving your neighbor or turning the other cheek. A lot of times people are just having issues that day, and all they need is a hug. So maybe that's like loving your neighbor, turning the other cheek. That's just an example that happened to us.
It's a good example. I don't know about you, but I don't know how many times that, I don't know if it was pride, ego. I didn't want to tell somebody what was personally going on with me on the inside. And because that person didn't have that knowledge, how we interacted really turn tides either towards the good and most of the time bad. We don't know what's going on inside the heart all the time. Of course, He does. But as we continue to look at the characters of how He's making us honorable and how we bring it to the light and to be imitators and walk as He walks, perhaps that's something to start thinking about when we're dealing with how do I love my neighbor? Some of the time, we don't even know what's going on with our neighbor. We don't take them or make the time. Okay, let's go ahead and move on. Chapter 10, 23 and 27.
Then He turned to His disciples and said privately, "Blessed are the eyes that see what you see, for I tell you that many prophets and kings wanted to see what you see, but they did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it." On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Yeshua. "Teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "What is written in the law?" he replied. "How do you read it?" He answered, "Yes, the Lord your God, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself."
All right. Anything different? Anything new? Love yourself. That's a hard one for some of us. Especially when being carnally minded, that's really difficult.
I come out of a different place where I get confused about this stuff because I've been told either you have to do it or Elohim does it, you do it. It gets confusing for someone like me who's just stepping in and coming out of culture shock, basically. I mean, my first year of listening to all this has been absolute culture shock. And now it's like, okay, applying, but it's confusing because I've been taught wrong for so long. I don't know what's right. So this was, I've always been taught that this is not the way we're supposed to do things.
Well, as you keep asking and seeking and knocking, He's going to answer that door for you. Again, it's individual and personalized. To me, it is both. It is in Him and through Him and by Him that I am to lay down my flesh. I'm to crucify my flesh. I'm to pick up my cross. I know that was added, but deny myself and follow Him. These are things He says you must do. So it's both. It's not one or the other that I'm seeing.
Writing down all this lot out of the love section of it, when it says to, you know, love Him with all your heart, mind, and soul, love your neighbors as yourself, love your enemies, and love yourself too. So basically, overall, just love everybody.
That's good. That's good. Love is the answer. But how is it written to love? That's where we need to focus. Because, again, the carnal mind cannot receive the spiritual things or the Torah of God. It is at war with Him. It's at war. We are at war. And we got to look to what's written and how He makes it honorable and follow Him. And that's, for me, that's what makes all the difference. Love is the priority. It's for me, it's always been the deliverance. I may have this and that and understanding and may have this knowledge or that knowledge. But man, sometimes as it's written, trying to remember exactly where we're. 1 Corinthians 8:1. Knowledge puffs up. Knowledge puffs up. You know, so it's, we've got to be mindful of that. We want to be wise as serpents, but as harmless as doves. When, for me, anytime I look at with what I know, what's the end goal? What's my end goal? Do I want you to get that same revelation of what He's blessed me with and seen, or do I want to be right? Do I want to, I had the answer and I showed it to you, but, or did you get the end result and are you benefited? Are you being blessed and are you blessing others? Are you loving yourself and loving Him and loving others through what I said and how I showed myself? It's just something I'm continually showing and I need to see. So this message is for me big time. Yes, Louise.
This is why He says, Yeshua says, to be thankful for the bad things that happen to us. To be grateful for loss and all these different things that happen to us. Because it's the only way that our pride can actually finally bite the dust. Is when you're down there and you've just been like smashed. Then it's like, oh wow, now I understand how these other people felt. And you know, you have revelation of what humility is. You can't have it intellectually. You cannot have humility intellectually. You have to experience intense bad things. Sorry, I didn't have a word for that. Before you can even begin to know what humility is. It's experiential.
That's true. I want to go to Book of Romans, chapter 12. And Tammy, this is, we're coming to a conclusion here, but with this letter that Shaul or Paul wrote to us, in this chapter, there's some heavy things to hear, but things to take to heart. If I could just be in a room and have him talk to me, I'd want to hear this.
Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. For through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. For just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. If prophecy, according to the proportion of his faith. If service, in his serving. Or he who teaches, in his teaching. Or he who exhorts, in his exhortation. He who gives, with liberality. He who leads, with diligence. He who shows mercy, with cheerfulness. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love, giving preference to one another in honor, not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer, contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality. Bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind towards one another. Do not be haughty in mind, but associate with the lowly. Do not be wise in your own estimation. Never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all men. If possible, so far as it depends upon you, be at peace with all men. Never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, "Vengeance is mine, and I will repay," says the Lord. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him drink. For in so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good.
Here's Rabbi Shaul, right? Paul, who was the Pharisees of the Pharisees, sat under the feet of Gamaliel. Did I say that wrong again, didn't I? Dang it. Anyways, Gamaliel. Oh, you know who I'm talking about right now. Anyways. No, seriously, if you would say he was a know-it-all, you know, at one point he would have said, I got it. I know what's up. But here's a man, after the scales have fallen from his eyes, he's seeing how to make Isaiah 42 and 21 come alive, how to make it honorable. It's not about me, it's about others and serving others and loving others. And how does that look like? How do I do that? Especially if I'm at constant war with my flesh, this battle that's going on inside. For me, I constantly got to look at these part of the scriptures too. As I'm going through this journey of how to live Torah, to me, it's not about how you or I keep Shabbat. Being under that police, or are you sure that's kosher where you're eating, or are you pronouncing the God's name right? You know, again, how am I being in that light? How are they seeing this supposed to be a great nation? If I'm coming down and not practicing making what is written here honorable, if I'm not looking through the eyes of love, oh my goodness. Then go back and on your own time, I really recommend reading all of 1 Corinthians 13. Meditate on that for a while. And if you're not familiar with that chapter, get very familiar with it. It is a beautiful passage about love. Three times, just real quick, most of us know, or if you don't know, the number three is pretty important biblically, represents life or death. And just the first three verses, he says, but if I have not love, if I have not love, if I have not love, it makes no difference of what you know, who you know, and why you know it. If you don't have love, though I speak with tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all trust, so if I could remove mountains but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned but have not love, it profiteth me nothing. Finish that chapter out. Meditate on it. Look up some of the Greek definitions in there if you're getting some things confused. But for me and for my house, when we serve the Lord, I want to know that people are looking upon a great nation. They're looking upon true light. They're looking upon what I'm doing as I'm walking out Torah to the best of my ability, that I'm at least searching to make it honorable. I'm trying to walk as he walked. I'm trying to be that light that he is. Because if I believe in him, and I believe I have his spirit, then I guess I should be known by my fruits, according to what's written. I don't need to be preaching up here, but There's been so many things on Facebook and just my little experience in this movement where, man, it's awesome to see and hear new things. But how it's being delivered is edifying the whole body. Is that not the purpose? Am I wrong? With what we know, what we're learning, and how we're learning toward, how we're following it out. When I'm not making it honorable as the Lord is, as we read throughout here, if I'm not walking out what is written, because the revelation of how to do this is in the Brit Hadashah. Does that make sense? And the key thing that we kept reading over and over again is love. Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, yeah, I'm sorry. There's different ministries and different folks out there in the Facebook land and Facebook world that like hitting with hammers real hard and dropping bombs. And it's like, okay, how does that edify me? What are you trying to say? I don't understand. And just leave it. When I look at scriptures, though, it's supposed to be for edification. Help me then. If I'm doing something wrong, do it in love, brother, to help me out so that I can do it. What's pleasing, that I can be a well-pleasing sacrifice to him. Because that's what I want. My heart's desire is to love him with all of my heart, all of my soul, all of my strength. But I fall short. I need help of understanding. So if I'm not doing it right in your eyes, is there a way that you can, with love, patience, kindness, gentleness, and meekness, fruits of the Spirit, right, help edify each other? Go ahead.
Last year at where I went to Sukkot, they called those people Torah terrorists. And what Sean's talking about is people who have all this education about Torah and all this stuff, and yet they're missing the whole New Testament, which is teaching Torah in the how to do that, how to love your neighbor. It's, it's a nice, great concept. Love your neighbor. Let's put it down to the daily, everyday. What does it mean? And what does Yeshua say about it? I believe Yeshua and the New Testament is all about how to do Torah. It's a how to do this. Exactly.
Isaiah 42:21.
Exactly. So that's what he's talking about. On Facebook, there's all these people that know all this stuff, but they're missing how to do it. So,
again, this message was for me. Okay, this is something I need to... I'm stuck in this thing, and I fall short, and that's why I need Yeshua. I'm going to fall short, and I need the covering. And what Jeff talked about this morning, we are in season for such a wonderful time. Trumpets, Yom Teruah, and Kippurim. There's such beautiful pictures of how he makes it honorable. So as we go into this season, let's look. How am I? Because I always want the finger on me first. And when that happens, and I take the log out of my own eye, I can humble myself, and I can be meek, and I can follow those fruits of the Spirit, and then we can be there for each other corporately. But if it doesn't start with me personally, I'm no good to you. With that, thank you very much for letting me ramble.
Whom I love and long for, my joy and my crown, my dear friends, keep standing firm in union with the Lord. I beg Evodia, I beg Syntyche, to agree with each other in union with the Lord. I also request you, loyal Sisgus, to help these women, for they have worked hard proclaiming the good news with me, along with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in union with the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let everyone see how reasonable and gentle you are. The Lord is near. Don't worry about anything. On the contrary, make your requests known to God by prayer and petition with thanksgiving. Then God's shalom, passing all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds safe in union with Messiah Yeshua. In conclusion, brothers, focus your thoughts on what is true, noble, righteous,
pure, lovable, or admirable, on some virtue or on something praiseworthy. Keep doing what you have learned and received from me, what you have heard and seen me doing. Then the God who gives shalom will be with you. Amen.
It almost reminds me of, recently I had to get on an airplane and fly. And when they give you those safety things, you know, it takes everything in me to actually pay attention because I've heard them so many times. But they always remind you that if the oxygen masks come down, you put yours on first before you help somebody else. If you're going to put on a life jacket, you put on your own first before you help someone else. And so with these things about taking the plank out of our own eye before we look at the speck of somebody else, that's the underlying message of that. You know, you need to take care of yourself before you think that you have some reason to take care of somebody else. It's a hard lesson to be reminded of because it's easier to look at somebody else than to look at ourselves.